So let's get started over here. So we're starting Siman Shin Yud Ches, which is very, very exciting. Shin Yud Ches essentially is the Siman about Bishul Daraisa. What the plan is for this week is as follows. Today, I had planned, although we're probably not going to get through it, is just to discuss the Hagadara of Bishul, how to be Magdir, what's called Bishul. So it's very introductory and not so much Halacha L'maisa. Then, the next topic we're going to get to is we're going to leave Bishul for a minute, but stay in Siman Shin Yud Ches and discuss Maisa Shabbos. It happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch talks about Maisa Shabbos in the context, because the Gemara does, in the context of Bishul. But really, the discussions of Maisa Shabbos are not really Bishul discussions, but they are extremely, extremely Halacha L'maisa. These are Shailas Rabbanim get B'chol Yom, every week. I shouldn't say B'chol Yom, you know, Shabbos is only once a week. But, you know, you get these Shailas all the time, the Maisa Shabbos Shailas. So we're going to hopefully this week will be those two topics, defining Bishul and Maisa Shabbos. And then we'll start getting into Bishul, Akha Bishul, and Yatzalad, you know, Machal Bishul, just the basic definitions of Bishul on a Daraisa level, and the applying those principles in Halacha. So let's start with Hagdara Bishul. So if we would think of the most logical place to start the sugya of Bishul, we would imagine that we're talking about food. However, Chazal, in the primary sugya of Bishul, in Parakal Gadol, discuss Bishul of non-food items. And there must be a concept of Bishul for non-food items. Al-Karchan, there is a concept of Bishul by non-food items, because Bishul in the Mishkan was a non-food item. The Bishul Sammanim in the Mishkan was non-food items. So that's where the sugya really starts. And by understanding how Bishul applies to non-food items, it helps us be magdir, the very concept of Bishul. But even before we get to that, let's start with Bishul of the most fundamental food substance, which is water. And maybe that will open the door to discuss the Geder of Bishul. Bishul is defined by, you know, if you open up like any, of the English Hilchos Shabbos books that, you know, try to have very clear, precise definitions, you'll find something along the lines of, I am sure, Rav Simcha ben Kohn or Rabbi Ribiyat, any of the like modern Svarim, that Bishul is defined as the causing of a change of a property in an item by use of heat. Well, what does it mean, causing a change in a property of an item? Making a non-edible food edible. Heating wax until it melts, meaning a change in some physical property in the item, dafka by using heat, causing metal to become red hot. So it's a change by use of heat. So for example, if you take a blech and you put it on, you know, blech is a flat sheet of metal that people put over the fire. So you take a blech and you put it on the stovetop on Shabbos, it could be that's Bishul. Before you put any food on it, you've already done Bishul, because by putting the blech directly on the fire might be making the metal red hot, and it's Bishul on the blech before you even talk about food. So there's clearly a some poskim suggest toasting bread is nisr midin bishul, because it changes the quality of the item. So changing the quality of something by means of heat, changing the physical quality of something by means of heat, but clearly it applies differently to food than it does to a piece of metal or a peg or wax or something like that, because you can't talk about bishul in terms of making something edible when you're talking about things that are not edible, when you're talking about things that are like wax and metal. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Ches Siv Katan Aleph, Mishnah Berurah writes, Echad Mevashel Samachol Osa Samanim Om Chamim Esamayim, which is interesting. Like right off the bat, he seems to identify three categories. There's Mevashel Machol, there's Samanim. These are headings. Machol is any food. Samanim is, Samanim V'chayotzebo. It's and any other type of non-edible item. Or mechamim esamayim, someone who heats up water. I would have thought that heats up water, what do you mean? That's meichel. That's the same as heating up soup, which is the same as heating up chicken, which is the same. It may have different, there may be different rules for liquids and solids, but it's just a liquid food, mayim. That's what you would think. And in fact, when the Mishnah Berurah goes on and elaborates in the beginning of Shin Yud Ches and Sivkat and Aleph, he doesn't really elaborate on mechamim esamayim. He only elaborates on two categories of bishul. And he writes, It's all bishul. Hamatich echad mimine matchos kol shuhu or mechamim es matchos at shatasa gchola harizah told us mevashel v'chein hamim masi sasadona, meaning you melt wax or sachel or zeves v'akvar v'agafris v'chayotz ben harizah told us mevashel v'chayiv. He just gives example on top of example of non-edible things. Klei adama, chatichas eitz, betanu kedeshet tziyavesh, and klol shel davar. He says anytime you have a davar, klol shel davar bein sharaf a guf kasha beish or shehiksha guf rach, hari zechayv mishum vashel. Vaken yesh zomra shlo niachetim lachem alataru liavshon. So he describes all of these examples of non-edibles. So he gives a few categories of bishul. Right, bishul is either taking inedible foods and making it edible, or taking edible food and making it more edible, right? That would be in the same category. Or a non-food items, if you could soften that could soften or harden with heat. Taking a guf rach and making kasha and making it rach, that's all considered bishul.
Why won't kalim fall under bona? Why does it fall under bishul?
If you heat the candle, why would that be bona?
No, or a kli.
So we'll discuss binyan bekelim also, but just because something is one malacha doesn't mean it's not another malacha. It happens to be a principle of binyan bekelim. It may not be as simple as it sounds, but we'll get to that as well. Just not now. Now, the Rambam in Parak Tes Halacha Aleph gives three forms of the malacha. Right? The Rambam very clearly seems to spell out three forms of the malacha. So what does he say? If you either mevashel samachal or samanim or mechamim esamayim, it's all inyan echad. So what does it mean? Mechamim esamayim is all inyan echad. And he says, shira mechamim esamayim kidei lirchutz ben eber katan. How much water do you have to heat? Enough to wash a small limb of your body. The shir, we have Ramach Evarim on the body, right? Your finger, let's say, has three Evarim on it. So from the Evar Katan is just the top of your pinky or something. It's not very much water. That's the shear of Mechamim Esamayim. So the Ram clearly, Ofes Apas, or Mevashel food, then the Mevashel Sammanim, and then Mechamim Esamayim. Now, L'chori should have put water together with food items. Why did he add it after discussing Sammanim? He had Ofa, Mevashel, then Sammanim, and then water. So, it obviously has to single it out because it has a different shear than the others, but why does he put it after the non-food? Why does he separate water out of the rest of the category? So, there's a difference between baking and cooking. The difference between baking and cooking is about the binyan of Mishkan or the functioning of the Mishkan. And that's highlighted by the Gemara. But again, this third category of water seems off. It seems not to be... I understand why he'd want to highlight both baking and cooking, because they would bake in Sidur Depas. They would cook in the Bishul Sammanim. So you want to highlight both of those things. The preparing of the Mishkan, the functioning of the Mishkan. I get that. But why highlight water when he doesn't highlight, I don't know, turkey or chicken or anything else, any other delicious foods that you may like to eat? It doesn't highlight potato kugel or chalent. So why highlight water? What is it about water that gets its own category? So again, simple answer may be, based on Magen Mishnah and Parakhas Halacha Tezvav, that the sheer grogros applies to food, but it's different for water, right? It's lirchutz bo'ever katan, so he has to highlight water just because of a different sheer. But the answer might be more fundamental as well. And this is discussed by the Eglei Tal in detail, and we'll see in the Sharetzin and Shin Yuches of Kodin Kofi Yudalit as well. There are three definitions of bishul. It could be. Number one, the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says that if you take a wet peg and you throw it into a fire, that's bishul, because it softens before it hardens again. Melting tar is bishul, even though it re-hardens after softening. So apparently, bishul is the softening of something through heat. The Rambam, Parak Tes Halacha Vav, adds also hardening something through heat can be bishul. So changing the fundamental form. Water does neither of those things. Water does not harden nor soften when you cook it. Just being warmed is the geder bishul when it comes to mayim. Hamechamim esamayim. That's the Diyuk de Eglei Tal. It doesn't say mevashel esamayim. Hamechamim esamayim. warming is how to define bishul when it comes to water. The Gemara in Shabbos Tav Mem tells us, Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, Echad Shemen Ve'echad Mayim Yad Soledes Bo Mutter, Ein Yad Soledes Bo Aser. That if you heat it just to the point of Yad Soledes Bo, that's already going to be bishul. Heating without changing its character is bishul by Mayim. Similarly, Rashi in Chulin, Kofayim and Beis, when the Gemara talks about the Yisr to wash with water that's Yad Soledes, so Rashi says that once it's warm enough, the water is considered batlu v'nishtanu mitoras mayim. Whoa, what a descriptive and graphic language. Batlu v'nishtanu mitoras mayim. Hot water has been nishtana, it's no longer water. It's no longer water. It's an entirely different metzius. Unlike if you have any hot chicken and cold chicken are the same metzius, it's just a matter of temperature. Hot water and cold water, Rashi seems to be describing, is an entirely different metzius. Right? An anomaly about water is that the effects of the bishul become undone when after some time. You cook chicken, it's never going to become raw again. You cook chicken soup even, it's never going to go back to just being water. You cook water and the change, which is, again, anomaly number one about water, is that just the temperature change is viewed as a total shinui. It's viewed as an entirely different product, and it can become undone just by leaving it, just by letting it sit. And it's going to go right back to being cool again, right back to square one again. So that's the uniqueness of water. The Eglei Tal points out that that's why by water there's a halacha that that if you drink water because you're choking and not because or to swallow a pill, let's say, and not because you're thirsty, you don't say a bracha on it. And if you drink orange juice because you're choking, you do say a bracha. Obviously, if you're choking, you can't say a bracha. But like if you're able to say a bracha, you do say a bracha on it. So why is that? Because water is not a food substance. It's not a typical food substance. It's nourishing. It's hydrating. But in terms of tam of food, it doesn't have the normal dinim of food. And therefore, when you heat water, it changes its halacha. If you were choking and you drink hot water, says the Eglei Tal, you say a bracha. It changes it fundamentally. It's not considered a typical food substance when it's cold, and when it's hot, it's considered a food substance. So it's considered a significant change. And that maybe explains the Rambam, Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, Hamafkias ha-beitza bebeged cham, o b'chol u'bavak drachim. Let's say you use hot sand to cook an egg. Shein cham le'ashemesh. You're in the Arizona desert or something where the sand is very, very hot, and it's hot enough that you're able to cook an egg. Even though it roasts the egg, your putter, because it's only told us chama, it's not told us eish, it was heated by the sun, meaning so it's only asumid rabbanon, and we'll get to that at a later point. Because how are you going to know the difference between something that was heated, a piece of metal that was heated by the Arizona sun in July, versus a piece of metal that was heated by a fire? So we make a piece of metal heated by fire is nisidoraisa. A piece of metal heated by the Arizona sun would be mutamidoraisa, but they look exactly the same, so they make a dindra banan. Hamvashal al-ur, dover shay, here it is. This is the line. Hamvashal al-ur, someone who is mevashal on fire. Dover shay mevushal kol tzarcho, something that's already been cooked. So he's going to say your pater. Now that's obvious, right? Why is that obvious? Because we know the famous phrase, that doesn't appear in the Mishnah or Gemara, but the famous phrase that ein bishal achar bishal, that once something is fully cooked, that's it, there's no more bishal anymore. Okay, that's not surprising. It's the next phrase. Again, hamvashal or dover shay mevushal kol tzarcho. Oh! Dover she'eino tzorich bishul klal pater. Says the Rambam, if you're mevashal something, same mevashal called tzarcho, or you're mevashal something that doesn't require bishul at all, you're pater. Now that second thing, eino tzorich bishul klal, is not talking about something that's already cooked, because that was the first phrase. He already said something that's already cooked. What does he mean by that? What are the possibilities even of what the Rambam means by that? That something that does not require bishul, you're pater. So the simple reading of the Rambam, what would you say the simple reading of the Rambam is? Yes, I mean it's edible raw. Nechol kamo shulchai. We have such a principle in bishul akum, right? That which is nechol kamo shulchai is not subject to bishul akum. So maybe a kol tikun rabbanon ken daraisa tiknum, and it's based on a din daraisa that there's no bishul midaraisa on something that's edible raw. which is stunning. You wouldn't say that by basar b'chalav, right? Basar b'chalav, if you have chalav that's edible raw, you wouldn't say, oh, it's not basar b'chalav because it was nechel k'mo shulchai. The cheese was nechel k'mo shulchai before I cooked it onto the burger, right? So you wouldn't be allowed to eat that cheese. You wouldn't say the nechel k'mo shulchai basar b'chalav. But the Rambam seems to be saying that, which if you think about the ramifications of that, it's wild. It means any fruit or vegetable, you're on a daraisa level, you're allowed to cook. It would mean very likely bizmanenu salmon, that you can cook salmon in your oven on Shabbos, and it's not going to be an Isser Daraisa, it's only going to be an Isser Darabanan. Wild, meaning it would turn out nafkamina, let's say, for a chola, where you're trying to do a kala kal tchila, and you're trying to do the lesser Isser for the chola, right? So you have to be mevash. We're going to discuss this when we talk about bishul in a microwave, right? Maybe it's better to have to heat something on it, to cook something in a microwave for a chola, than it is to cook something in a classic oven or on a stovetop. But maybe it's better to choose a food that's nechel kamo shulchai. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. So if you cook something that's either mevushal kol tzarcho or eino tzarcho bishul, your pater, which implies pater aval asr midrabanan. Obviously, the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel that's what the word pater means throughout. But clearly, the daraisa definition of bishul does not include that which is eino tzarcho bishul klal. So the Merkavas Mishnah in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph says that something edible raw isn't subject to Bishul B'Shabbos, just like it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And he says the simple reading of the Rambam is the correct reading of the Rambam. And that would mean that if you cook salmon on Shabbos, it's not Bishul Doraisa. If you cook most vegetables, it's not Bishul Doraisa. An absolutely stunning chiddush. I don't know if I'm expressing this as shocking as it is. You know, this is a shocking, shocking chiddush. There is a svara by Bishul Akum that it will lead to a relationship. Right, meaning to apply those. Why is it Hanechel Kmo Shulchai is not subject to Bishul Akum? Because the whole concern about Bishul Akum is Gezeirah Mishum Chasus. I'm going to come close to the guy. I'm going to be appreciative of what he did. Ah, Hanechel Kmo Shulchai. What did he do for me already? I could have eaten it without him cooking it. To apply those same rules to Gidrei Bishul Mita Oraisa is a huge chiddush. But Rabbi Kiveger makes the same assumption in Shulchan Aruch. In Simration and Dalit Sivdal, he says that if you have a fruit that is Nechel Chai, and you put it near a hot food, hot fire before Shabbos, or hot food right before Shabbos, that's fine. But you have to be careful that the fruit doesn't become unwrapped, because then it will cook faster. Apparently, intensifying the heat of an already cooking apple is an issur. So the Magen Avraham says, kal v'chomer, if a hot plate is on a timer and it's going to start cooking a piece of meat on Shabbos, that's going to be asur. So Rabbi Kiveger writes that he doesn't understand the kal v'chomer. When you put food on a hot plate that's off, the Magen Avraham is assuming that it's more obviously asur. But l'chora, the case of the apple is more obviously asur, because you're intensifying the heat in the moment right now. So Rabbi Kiveger adds that, of course, the case of the apple is only Nisim Yidrabanan to begin with, because it's an apple. I mean, whatever the details of that discussion, which is a fascinating discussion, but Rabbi Kiveger, in that context, when he talks about the comparison Magen Avraham makes between, like, extending an existing bishul versus setting up a system where a bishul is going to begin on Shabbos, he says, yeah, but if you're talking about an apple, you're talking about a fruit anyway, then it's only Drabbanu, because it's an apple. Meaning Rabbi Kiveger seems to understand the Rambam like the simple reading of the Rambam. Yeah.
Maybe the
Yeah, that's what you'd have to say. That's meaning that the gedarim of that by Bishul Akum, it is a kein daraisa of Shabbos, but not of basar b'chalav, right? Because basar b'chalav doesn't matter about chashivas of the ma'isa; it's about derech bishul asr Torah, and nechel kamo shulchai is included in derech bishul asr Torah. That's what you'd have to say. But just again, it's still quite a chiddush to assume that all of these items are just not going to be included in Bishul Doraisa. Rabbi Kiveger seems to have understood the Rambam that way, and that's how the Merkav Samishna seems to understand the Rambam.
Is that so different than every other halacha, though, if there's not a chashav b'maisa, that's not considered that halacha d'oraisa?
Yeah, I guess what I mean to say is the shock value of it is in intuitive. It's not a halachic shock value. In Echinami, you can make a good halachic argument that's what the Rambam means. Shartzion in Shin Yud Chesiv Katan Kuf Yud Aleph disagrees. And he says, no, how could you say davar shechel k'mav shulchai is not a violation of bishul on a daraisa level? The Gemara says cooking water is a violation of bishul on a daraisa level. Ein davar nechel k'mav shulchai gadol mizeh. Can you have a better example of davar nechel k'mav shulchai than water? We always drink water chai. How can you possibly say that davar nechel k'mav shulchai is not subject to bishul? So clearly says Shar Tzir, Kivager's wrong. Water is edible raw and still subject to Bishul. Prima Gadim and Eshel Avram and Reshon and Dalit Aleph. Maybe will help us answer for Rabbi Kivag and the Makrev submission, because it says, no, water is different from other foods. The Hagdara of Bishul by water is a different Hagdara than the Hagdara of Bishul by everything else. The Rambam was talking about foods when he said, Adavar Chunachal Kamoshul Chai is not subject to Bishul. Water doesn't have the same gedarim of Bishul, because the definition of Bishul when it comes to water is not to take something inedible and make it edible. The definition of Bishul when it comes to water is chimum, because hot water and cold water are an entirely different metzius. And this is what the Eglei Tal explains. The Eglei Tal spells all of this out, that it's because you view water as something that's an entirely different metzius when it's cold and when it's hot, that you have room to say that that the Rambam has room to say that a davar nechel kamo shulchai is not going to be subject to Bishul, because water is not going to bother him. It's in its own category. But if you're in the Mishnah Berurah camp, where you're thinking that that there is no separate category called water, there may be slightly different rules, but there's no separate category called water, so al karchach you have to say that a davar nechel kmo shulchai is subject to Bishul, because water is subject to Bishul. And you have to go like this to explain the Rambam. What did the Rambam mean? So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so what did the Rambam mean? The Rambam must have meant, says Mishnah Berurah, that when he says that which is eino tzarich bishul, you're missing a word, eino tzarich bishul klal, doesn't need bishul at all. What does that mean? Says Mishnah Berurah, means not just something that's edible right now. Something that's edible right now may still need to be cooked, right? If you like to have for dessert, I think we had yesterday at lunch, cooked apples with cinnamon on it or something like that. So if my wife would have brought to the table an apple, I wouldn't have been nearly as happy as having those cooked apples with cinnamon. An apple is edible raw, right? You can eat an apple raw. It's nechel kmo shulchai, but it is improved, and there's a tikkun involved in being mevashelit. What the Rambam was talking about is not an apple. He's talking about something that's eino tzarich bishul klal. Eino tzarich bishul klal means cooking it will destroy it. That cooking it will only ruin it. It will not improve it. And there aren't very many foods like that. The only thing that comes to mind is like lettuce. I don't know, anyone ever cook lettuce? Right, I guess. Yeah, you do cook lettuce? Or you don't, what? Yeah? So I don't know. So now I'm out of examples. Thanks, Jed. I don't know. A banana? I don't know. I don't know what kinds of foods like you can't cook that will ruin the food if you cook it. But that's what Mishnah Berurah says. That has to be what the Rambam means. But where it's coming from is based on an understanding that there aren't three categories. If there are three categories, then you're not bothered by the Mishnah Berurah's problem to begin with, and then you don't have an issue. So that is Not improved. No. It's not mekalkel. It's just that it's not improved. But still, I don't know. I don't know of any of it. Meaning they fry bananas. Fried bananas. Is that a thing? Yeah.
Are the definitions for this objective or subjective?
Also, okay, good question. How exactly is it based on what people do in that society?
Like you personally don't like cooked bananas, but for someone else, cooked bananas would be the best thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Right, I guess we could talk about this when we talk about mitstamik viralo, mitstamik viafalo, right? That's also very nogay. I was talking to a caterer recently. A good friend of mine is a caterer, Moshe David, and we had lunch with him. He came over to our house for lunch, and he said that he's a Talmud of Rav Shechter. He was in Rav Shechter Shir with me, and he said the hardest psak to be mekabel from Rav Shechter is that he holds that it's still mitstamik viyafalo until there's no red in the meat whatsoever, until the meat is like totally dry. He said like. It's like impossible. Like, you know, like, because that's not, he said, it's just not, he said, I feel like I just need to sit down with him and explain to him how meat is supposed to be eaten. You know, there are fancy restaurants that if you order a well-done steak, the chef will come out to yell at you that you don't know how to eat the steak. You know, like it's supposed to be rare on the inside. There's supposed to be that redness on the inside. But yeah, so we'll have to discuss also like how those definitions are made, how those hagdaras are made of what's considered. But I just thought that the Hagdara of Mayim helps us, because if you put Mayim in its own category, you really see that there are three categories of Bishul. There's food, there's non-foods, and there's water. And water is, that's what the Agudat Tal writes. So water is all about the Chimum, and clearly, the Mishnah Berurah rejects this category. The Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar HaTzion over there, and in the Mishnah Berurah over there in Shin Yuches Aleph, even though he starts off in Shin Yuches Aleph by just listing the same three categories that the Rambam does, but when he gets into the weeds, when he gets into the details, he doesn't give any details really about Mayim as a category. He gives details about all the non-edible things and then just Bishul in general. So that seems to be the Hagdar of Bishul by Mayim. Now, just to get us started on some of the other on the issue of non-edible things and where there's Bishul, maybe it's Kedai, let's see what the Gemara in Shabbos says. Gemara in Shabbos, the Vayin Dalaram Beis, Amar Avacha Barav Avira, Hay Man Deshada Sichso La'atuna, Chayiv Mishum Mevashel. You throw a peg into an oven, you're Chayiv Mishum Mevashel. Pshita, Ma'u Detema, L'shuri Manakam Echavein, Kamashmala Demir Barafi Vahadar Kamit. The Gemara says that you put a peg, a peg into an oven. It's chayv mishum vashal, right? Yated is a peg, not the newspaper with all the gedolim pictures. You put a peg into an oven, so you're chayv mishum vashal. Now the reason this is a chiddush is because we would have thought, the Gemara explains, you're just trying to harden the item and you're not going to be chayiv, so kamash malan that you're softening the item and you are chayiv. How do you read that Gemara exactly? I mean, we just said before that the Hagdara of Bishul by non-food items is if you harden that which is soft or soften that which is hard. Does that come from anywhere? Does it say that anywhere? You read the Gemara, it doesn't sound like that at all, right? The Gemara sounds like it's saying, I might have thought that you're only trying to harden something, and hardening something isn't Bishul. Oh, Kamash Malan, it's softening, and softening something, that's Bishul. Right, that's what it sounds like from the Gemara. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim exactly how to read this Gemara. Rashi writes, the Kamash Malan Demir Parafi, Ali Dechom Ha'ur, V'amayim Shebetocha Yotzin, the water evaporates from inside of this peg, so it hardens from the heat, it softens rather, and then afterwards it hardens again. Rashi says it goes through a process. You take the peg, you put it into the oven, softens, then hardens. When it's softening, that's the bishul. It goes into the oven, two things happen, softens, hardens, bishul takes place during the softening, that's the ripoy, that happens at the beginning. So the havamina is that I'm putting it in and it's getting harder, so therefore there's no issue of bishul. Maskana is, no, it gets soft first, so there is an issue of bishul. So Rashi seems to define bishul on non-food items as the softening of the item al yidei heat. And that Rashi fits nicely with the text of the Gemara, but it's just difficult to understand why that would be the definition of bishul. Why would the hardening of something through fire not be considered bishul? What's the av melacha of bishul? It's not even listed as bishul in the Mishnah. What's it called? Ofe. What happens when you're ofe? You take a cake, right? Anyone bake over here? Right. So what do? You take a dough or even a batter sometimes, and you put it in the oven. And what happens?
It hardens.
So by food, the definition of bishul is to harden something, or it's at least that's how it's done. That's the av melacha of ofe. So why should it be that by non-food, the dafka, the definition, the only way to accomplish bishul by non-food is to do the opposite, is to soften something. It is what Rashi's saying. It's just a question of like what's the svara. Oh, so you're saying fundamentally, really, softening or hardening is, but it's a matter of the starting point.
Yeah,
Maybe. Okay, good.
Could Rashi just say that even in the baking process, there's some softening that occurs with water or something in there?
And that's the real afia?
Yeah.
It's hard to say that. It's hard to say that because you're over till the point where it gets edible. That's when you're chayiv. And that's ready when it's hardening.
Maybe the Rashi is liquid. Is the liquid is the key? Like when everything tends to get cooked, like the liquid inside changes, it releases liquid, liquid comes out.
Right, but why is that different than bread?
Maybe
meaning when you're baking bread, because the liquid is softening, that's what you're chayiv for? Again, it doesn't seem that way because when it comes to food, it's when it becomes edible, when it's machal ben drusai. And that's later, I think, right? That's not when it's soft. That's already when it's hardening. So it doesn't seem that way.
I thought the lashon of afia was only chosen because of cedar is
pas. In a chinami, but afia is the av, meaning, but everyone agrees that if you bake, you're in violation of the av malacha. The question is, why do we choose afia as opposed to choosing bishul? But everyone agrees they're both examples of the av malacha. So why would it make sense that when you're defining bishul of a non-food item, the bishul is going to be defined as that which is, you know, softening, when that's clearly not the definition when it comes to food item? So again, it's difficult conceptually. So it must be that Rashi distinguishes between food items and non-food items. If you look in the Rambam, we have time for this? Oh, it's already late. Let's just read the Rambam and then we'll... The Rambam in Tes Vav, in Tes, Perek Tes Halacha Vav, Kol Shodaber, Bein Sharipa Guf Kasha Be'esh Oshik Shaguf Ra, Charei Zechayiv Mishum Vashal. Oh, that's much better. You're changing it one direction or the other. That's Bishul, softening, hardening. That's what's the problem with the Rambam? How did you read the Gemara? The Gemara didn't say that, right? So Rashi's great with the Gemara. The Sheetz Rambam makes logical sense. Very difficult to read in the Gemara. So Lech Mishnah explains that the Rambam understood that the Havamina of the Gemara is not that hardening isn't bishul. No, the Havamina is that nothing really happened to the item, so you should be pater. It was hard, and you're making it harder, and that would not make you chayiv, because there was no real change to the item. Maskon of the Gemara is that the peg gets softer and then gets hard again, so it did go through a significant change. Sounds familiar, right? That's how the Lech Mishnah explains the Rambam. The Mordechai has a third approach in Taf Lamed Gimel. According to the Sefer Yoreim, and with this we'll close. When a person puts wet clothing by a dryer or something like that, there are a lot of issues that you have to deal with, one of which is malabein, but the Reim says it's chayiv mishum bishul. Why? You're not really cooking the water. The water is evaporating and it's disappearing. Why is not chayiv mishum bishul? Why is it chayiv mishum bishul? So the Mordechai proves that it can be considered bishul from our Gemara. The water in the peg is being evaporated, which causes chayiv bishul. So too, here, the water evaporating from the cloth is bishul, meaning the way the Mordechai understands the Gemara, it's not, also sounds familiar, not that you're cooking the peg because you're hardening the peg or softening the peg, you're cooking the water inside of the peg. And even though the water is just evaporating, so you don't have any water to show for it, you don't have any cooked water to show for it, the Mordechai from the Urim holds that's called bishul. There's no din in bishul that you need to have the product. It could be that it produced nothing at the end. It disappeared upon bishul, but still, that's called bishul. So that's a third way of understanding our Gemara. So we're going to try to go a little bit deeper into that sugya tomorrow, Be'ezrus Hashem, and then hopefully we'll also begin Maaseh Shabbos tomorrow. So that's the plan for tomorrow. Again, I apologize I took so much time. I just thought it was kedai to talk about Rabbi Tadna a little bit. Okay, everyone have a great day, and welcome back.